I still have hot wax. Speaking of naked stuff, I still have hot wax in my Novation Launchpad Mini from when my cat jumped up on my desk with a candle on the desk and burned off his whiskers.
Because, yeah, I guess, how does Kenny see your screen if you're, or does he? Sharing if you
oh he doesn't yeah. I can share my screen through here, but I just don't.
That's where the Mimo thing is, I guess, slightly, if you're doing any of that stuff where you're both commenting on what's on the screen.
Yes, it's good. Today he was looking at it through Twitch and watching on Twitch. So if you were watching live, we had some bandwidth issues.
Kenny,
where he looked real bad for a little while. Yeah. I guess
it looks like hot garbage.
It did look like hot garbage, Kyle, the past Kyle. I have a new setup here for my camera. I'm running a GoPro Hero 4.
Of course
with a micro, HDMI plugged into an HDMI capture card, and it looks much. See, this is the one you're seeing me on right now.
Oh,
is a completely different camera. Let me see if I'll take one from my perspective on what I see.
Right, I see. I'm watching the Twitch channel just for a second here. It definitely looks good.
Bloink. All right.
there's the new camera sound for the iOS 11. Boink.
That's actually Android O.
Dang, it looks good.
Let me, what are you on? Are you on Google Allo?
Well, no, that's only in the States.
Come on. Allo, it's really only in the States? Really?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Because we would say bonjour up here, and so it's not allowed. It's Canadian content.
Hello. Rules. Hello, governor.
Exactly. Is that right, that's English? Is that?
Yeah, yeah. I won't send it to.
Say Australian. But.
It's Australian. It's mostly Australian, yeah.
Hello, governor.
Let me send this.
Fancy a washing of your bits and pieces.
Send it to Chris.
I have no idea where this is going to come from.
Upload started. I'm already recording already. I'm going to get a fax of your
photo, are you? So. Am I? Yeah, I am as well. This is the show.
Kenny's not happy I'm talking about Allo. Today, actually, since we're a news program, Allo just launched their web application, their web version of Google Allo, but for Android users only.
Of course.
But it's a web version, so you have to like scan a QR code from your Google Allo account on your Android device, and then the website will authenticate you. I don't know what they're doing over at Google, but some product manager is just going to town on these chat apps. And
yeah,
it's bad. It's bad. It's really bad.
It's like they get commission for each chat app they fire up, and then deliberately make it really confusing, like to join.
As well. It's basically just there's a checkbox on all of the is your product shippable checklist that just says does it have social? If it doesn't, it doesn't ship. It just sits there, and you have to wait until it has social integration somehow.
I love what I'm sure normal people, when they hear people like you and I say social, and they're like, what are you talking about? What is, it has social? Why does?
Yes, it has social. It is kind of social.
Web nerd are you? You live in
the really social. Gross kind. let me turn this off. You know what? We talk about naked stuff too much. So let's curb that. That is a different kind of social, Kyle.
Past
Kyle. That is something completely different. I still have hot wax. Speaking of naked stuff, I still have hot wax in my Novation Launchpad Mini from when my cat jumped up on my desk with a candle on the desk and burned off his whiskers.
It's so fluffy!
The whiskers were very flappy, and also it got burnt kind of on the edge, and so it was sort of, it was like turned down for whiskers for a little while. So here's some follow. Let's just get started. I have some follow up. And I think I have what would be classified as pure evil in a can. Maybe you can see this stream.
Pure, where? Just wait. I've got the sound effect from episode 9. Just hang on.
Okay. Ugh. Yeah. There you go. This is V8, and per my afternoon ritual, I will now consume an entire 8-ounce can of V8.
That's an afternoon ritual for you?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Typically because I need the vitamins. Oh, I didn't shake it. I always read shake well before opening, and I never shake it. I'm not even gonna try now. It's basically celery juice and tomato juice and vegetables, which I don't get elsewhere. So I need some vitamins in my life.
So you consume actual meat and things, but then you just do a shot of vegetables every afternoon.
Yeah. To keep intravenously.
Keep usually. Things moving.
Yeah. I like the spicy kind more, because it's a little more like stomach acid is kind of just bubbling up.
You like the straight acid. Do you do the...
I do.
Isn't there like a... What's the beverage that you make with those? Clamato? That's a Canadian thing, isn't it? I don't drink
Clamato. Clamato is clam juice and tomato juice put together. You can usually make a Bloody Mary with them if you want to put vodka in there. I'm a fan of micheladas, which are basically just tomato juice, a bunch of spices, and beer.
Hmm.
It's a really, really good time. If you're into mixed beer drinks, a michelada is a good way to go. It basically tastes like if you were vomiting it up, but right. you're drinking it.
I was gonna say, do you meet a lot of toilets with a michelada?
I don't know. I mean, it's the spicier, the worse it is, probably in Roderick terms that we've discussed previously. That's on this program.
Episode 3 or 4, I think, of the Roderick family tree.
Yeah. Chat room Kenny says he's thrown up right now. Good. Sweet Lord, I'm throwing up over here. So.
Bloody Mary. There's a slight delay in the chat room, I guess. We're doing episode 10 live, in case folks are wondering why we're talking about a chat room at all. Goodstuff.fm/live. We don't usually reference our own podcast and promote it in any real way on the show.
Well, it could just be the way that we're now trying to channel feedback about this program is a fake chat room that we reference every now and then.
Scripted.
To try and it's a way for me to bring in past Kyle or like subconscious Kyle as a way of wrangling maybe a stray thought or a different perspective. To make sure that, everyone's represented here. So I beat cats twice. I don't.
That's awful, Kyle.
I know.
I'm still... That shook me to the core. Okay. Speaking of follow-up, chat room follow-up, research follow-up, Tasula is in the chat room. She said, back from episode 9, Minnesota is in the Midwestern United States. We were correct. There was some debate in the stuffy Slack as to how Midwest it is, I think. But
I don't think the thing is, it's not really contested that it's Midwest. I think my brain, though, is geography wise. When you're in California, and we've been having kind of an issue, a off air issue with time zones, Chris and I, you and I.
Fans of the At YouTube podcast know that I have many issues with time zones, so they'll know it's not you, it's me.
But it's like how folks on the East Coast think that that's the only coast that exists.
Yeah. Or Toronto is the only Canada.
Yeah, exactly. People in California, I don't know, we're that big kind of banana shaped one. And then everybody else is just they're a state. They're square. Mostly. I know Rhode Island's tiny and then Colorado's a square, but everything else is just sort of amorphous to me. I don't care about geography. That's my problem.
Do you care about
people? I have a lot of problems, but it's... Well, I do care about... I absolutely care about the people. But the shape of the shape... The shape of the states, the shapes of the shapes, the United Shapes of America. I don't care.
It's circles and squares all the way down, as we discussed in the last episode or two episodes ago.
Yeah.
That might have been cut out, actually. I edited the last episode, and there's things I know that I cut out but are still like an important part of the episode in my mind, even though I cut them. That's sometimes the best material ends up on the cutting room floor, I guess, is what I'm trying to tell you. So
until you pick it up, until you throw those files somewhere. We have an archive.
Deal with a lot of residue. Audio residue. Yeah. So that's from
a lot of residue.
In the notes here, you have spider follow up. I don't know.
So you were tweeting, let's see, I think it was Friday. It started Friday. It continued into the weekend. You took a photo of some spiders. There was Chris taking photographs and trying to crowdsource answers on what kind of spider it was.
And I don't know. Do you know spiders? I don't know. Like, obviously, I don't know what spiders are. I know what spiders are. Sorry. I know.
Eight legs. Let's count them. Eight legs.
Four on this hand and five in this hand. I don't know which spider is which. I know generally that there's some really poisonous ones and there's some less poisonous ones. And that's kind of the black and white of my spider world. So I was just kind of shocked the first time I posted. It was like all these people started replying with what kind of spider it was and then back and forth on whether it was one kind or another. So then it became kind of like, well, I can just crowdsource my spider issues, which it looked like I had a lot. But actually what happened was I was at home and then I was up at the lake and there were spiders in both locations and not all of them were in my house. So I think
got it.
That's the disconnect for the average person who isn't stalking me completely enough to know that all these spiders are not actually in my house.
I felt like we needed, just as the audience, the viewer, the ones actually caring for your safety,
right,
we need to know the scale of these spiders, because on their own, they looked like they could be the size of my palm. They looked huge. They looked absolutely gargantuan.
And somewhat deliberately so. I in hindsight, yeah, I should carry around a coin so that I can put it next to the spider.
Need a banana for scale.
Right. Is that that's the unit of measurement that people use generally?
On Reddit, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There's two. So it's generally consensus seemed to be a grass spider is what I think one was. That's the most responses. Named Steve is the... possibly a brown recluse. At Marla Bake said, don't get bit since these guys are necrotic, which I think I read that reply at like 12:30 AM. So I didn't Google it at that moment. And she said, then replied later saying, sit down and have a drink before you Google. Basically it will mummify the flesh around the bite. So, I'm
like a necromancer, like basically it just turns you into a different class and you're able to use magic and summon dead things.
For Game of Thrones fans, no spoilers here if you're later seasons along, but there's a guy, Jorma, anyways, he has like a scaly stone kind of thing going on, and I'm assuming that's maybe what she means. So I was trying to avoid that. It's still a lot, like I didn't catch it actually. It ran away really fast. It was super fast under the couch. So somewhere in our basement, likely under the couch, is a thing that will turn me into a mummy, I guess. Or maybe my children first. That would be actually preferable, because then I would see like a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, my son, you know, laying there mummified in the arm, and then I would know, okay, don't go over there.
Right.
There's a spider that will turn you into a mummy.
I'm going to pass over the great joke I made and move straight into maybe spider number two.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find spider number two.
Wolf spider is what one my Dutch friend said.
Yeah, I think I said, I had a different name and I can't remember it now.
Sisula said wolf spider. Yeah, Sisula sent me a picture of Raid, like a whole spider and scorpion killer in Spanish. I don't know if that was a photo from her house. Maybe
there we go.
In the US, you don't have to have English and Spanish on things, do you? Like in Canada here, because we are a bilingual country, we have French and English on everything. So it doesn't matter what it is. It has to, other than books, actually, I guess, as I look at a book. But everything has to have French. Any product you'd buy has to have French and English.
Right. And they have to be the same size or something that by law. I used to deal in packaging. But here in the US, we don't really. We'll do French and Spanish out of, a nicety. It's not like a law thing that you have to do on packaging, at least that I've seen. On most shampoos, there is French. I don't know why. Just maybe I look at shampoo bottles far too much. I could look here at a couple of these things I have. Low sodium. Yeah, no. There's no other languages on here.
Show me your house, Kyle. With
I have my chaser too. I have my my coconut water chaser for this V8. So here's what I was thinking. It's not a, what was it, a wolf spider? I was thinking hobo spider. Apparently, according to Google, they are aggressive and very fast. Their web is not sticky, which I did not know was possible for a spider. And they catch their prey by literally tripping them and then eating them.
Tripping them and eating them. That was the first spider I posted, right? Or the second?
That was the first.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the first. And now see, the second one, though, looks very similar, but like less meaty. Mm. Or more, it looks more meaty. Kind of, yeah, like thicker.
Like, that's what's a testament to actually the iPhone. This is the iPhone 6 still only, but like that was, I think, at 9:30 at night, like dusk, with a flash, using the flash. Uh-huh. You get a pretty good view of that spider. It was actually really slow. It didn't move at all. Even when I like sort of tapped the chair it was sitting on next to me, as you do. We were sitting at around a table, spider to my left, Joker's to the right. And it was just sitting there. It didn't actually freak me out the way the first one did. What did we say? We figured it was brown? No.
Hobo.
Hoboken. Yeah, I generally don't get that squeamish about spiders, but that first one really freaked me out because of how fast it was, and B, it was like just sort of scrambled up from underneath the couch out while my son and I were playing video games, and just kind of like came out and said, "Hey, what's up? Can I play?" And we jumped, kind of thing. And so
we don't have another controller. Get out of here.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh yeah, it does have 8. It's like almost circular with the legs, right? That first one. It's not like it's 4 and 4. It's like
kind of 4. Well, because it's trying to get traction and run faster.
Ready to go. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Some sort of the way that those are splayed out is just a little. It's just. Ooh, dang, it looks good. Yeah, it does not look good. It does not look good. But I'm looking forward to Show Me Your Spider on goodstuff.fm coming this fall.
Speaking of follow-up, Logan in our subreddit sent in his home screen. I didn't put a link in, so I'm just going to go find it again. How do you spell? reddit.com/r/goodstuff_fm. 3 comments. My home screen. Any gesture, he says, opens the app drawer. So,
I don't know what that means. It's like swiping from the bottom, usually. So, the app drawer is the one that when you're... when you're here on this bottom one and you swipe up from the bottom, it should open it up on like the Pixel launcher works that way. Mine, you have to tap it and then it shows up.
First of all, 20,000 bonus points, high contrast points. Those are redeemable at the Good Stuff online store for having high contrast playing. Or I guess it's paused right now, it looks like. But that's the last thing he was playing, which I guess makes sense if he's sending a screenshot while he's listening in his whatever that's called, the player bar. I don't know what it's called in Android. So high contrast is playing, full marks for that. He's also got, I'm guessing it's the music. Is the White Rider a band and Camel is the song, or is Camel the song and White Rider is the band? Did I just say that twice?
There's a band and there is a song in there somewhere. If there's a play button, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll just agree.
Okay. And then he's got some games along the top, it looks like. I don't recognize the games exactly, but here, I'll put the link in the chat room so folks can know what we're talking about. Sorcery is one of them. Baseball maybe is another one. Camera, icon, Android Music or Google Music, Android icon of some sort. But also, which I talked to him about, he's got Pocket Cast, fellow Pocket Cast user, so... Welcome to the show.
Camel is a rock band. Their album Mirage came out in 1974, and that is in fact what he's listening to.
1974. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. They had music back then.
It's actually a camel. It's not a cow. You can milk both, I think. But
did I say cow? You said cow. Did I say?
You said holy cow.
Oh, gosh. Audio residue?
I don't know if there is some sort of meaning for a camel, but
okay,
it looks real good.
Nice background, yeah, too. So
it looks really good. I like the way that a home screen looks without words on it, telling me what the app is. Most of the words on mine are truncated right now anyway.
Yeah,
good stuff. Annoying. Dot F, ellipses, which is just,
yeah.
Come on, guys. So that's one thing I like about this home screen is that no names.
Yeah, keep it simple. If it's an app you want on your home screen, you don't need the words because you know what it is. I don't know what that one is in the bottom right with like the circle with the triangles over, like sort of what's the
bottom word?
I'm doing this motion, which I think is,
I believe, clear. It's a, I'm gonna go out on a limb, like a habit tracker, some sort of
what is it with you people and habit trackers? Holy
like
cow.
like a habit tracker. Android habit tracker.
Actually, Logan is in the chat room, so
well there we go. Well, he can
it's sync for Reddit, exactly, he says.
Oh,
so there you go. I don't know where he is in the world. He doesn't have to say, but it was 30 degrees Celsius, 86 Fahrenheit when he posted that. So that's your daily-ish update, weather update. This is not a weather podcast. Actually, I'm wearing a shirt. There you go.
Hey, not that you haven't recorded one in a while, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'll get back on that horse. Don't worry.
Let me just toss a tiny bit of shade that way. Just. Dang, it looks good. It's a good looking shirt. I do agree with myself. It's a good looking shirt.
Is a sequitur the same as a segue, or is a segue, all segues are sequiturs, but not all sequiturs are segues?
Which one drives you off a cliff? Both is the answer to that question. That's the joke, right? The maker of the Segway died on a Segway.
That's not true.
It's got to be true.
There's
maker of the Segway.
Segway maker die. Segway tycoon. Whoa, he did.
Here's an entire list on Wikipedia of inventors killed by their own inventions.
You know what? I think we almost need to save that for a future episode.
That's a really good idea. Aviation, industrial.
Yeah, let's not go too deep into this rabbit hole because that is
maritime. Oh, Marie Curie. That's unfortunate.
It's been a long time since I've stumbled on a real gem of a Wikipedia entry. So
this is a really good one.
Let's tungle that one for a while.
Killed by their own invention or not.
Right.
So that's what we're going to go with.
You work on the song and work on
it. All right. Deal.
Bum, 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 bum. Folks need to tune into the morning show and if nothing else, listen to the theme songs for the segments of some insert game or not. It's
been a recent addition. It's one of those things that I guess has some backyard baseball. I'll look on creativecommons.org. And search for free to use 8-bit music and try to find one that is between 8 and 15 seconds and then kind of fuss with the modulation of it so I can hear what the notes are and then attempt to make up lyrics on the fly for whatever the like syncopated beats are of that actual song. It's really dumb, and it takes me about an hour and a half, but I do it.
So that's Kyle's dedication to providing. It inevitably, it causes you and Kenny to just crack up for a minute straight.
It's a really good time. Yeah,
I have no idea if other people find it as funny, but I know.
No, probably not.
The fair or not one. We were listening to in the car, and I could just see my three kids were in the back, and I could see them in the mirror as we're driving down the highway, and I could just see them all like cracking up. And then my 4-year old, like 5 minutes later, was like, "Fair or not." Like, yeah. We're still singing it a little while later. So if nothing else, like I've said, morning show can transition, pivot into the sub-teenage demographic, I think, with much success. Or
maybe just jingles.
Yeah.
Like radio and product jingles. We'll do one version in English and one version in French so that everyone in Canada is happy.
Yeah. I can only imagine how that would sound in French. You should. There's got to be. You know what? That Fiverr.com. Fiverr.com. You should get a alternate language versions of some of those just for fun next time you're doing one with Kenny. Because for $5, yeah. you can get someone to record it in Portuguese over top of your audio, your music.
Gosh.
Yeah. You can do anything, Fiverr.com, I think. I hate it because it's but
man, I paid Santa $100 to give Kenny a message a couple years ago. Now, was it $100? Maybe it was less.
$100?
I think it was a lot of money. I think it was maybe $10 maybe. Either way, way too much money to have. Well, it was worth it.
It brought joy, yeah.
Yes. Did it bring joy to my life? Yes. Should I have thrown it away immediately? Yes. It's a good time. I think we need to follow up with Santa this year. I hope Kenny's not watching because I may have something. May have something coming. Exactly.
Something about putting things in your mouth.
That's not really our vertical, but I mean, I have been drinking a lot on this stream. It's not the drinking we'll be doing later, but it is some kind of drinking.
Yeah, we should mention to folks, you do a little podcast with two podcasts with your brother. We talked about Morning Show, but also the video game, playing old video games and slowly, progressively getting more liquidated. I think is the right word.
I mean, we could probably do the same thing by eating Chipotle, but that's a whole other show. Just the urgency of needing to end the stream faster and faster. That's a completely different kind of liquidation. We play. So the show that we have two episodes in now is called Buzzled. We crack open a beer at the beginning of the show. We have played over the last two episodes early 90s edutainment games. So things like Dr. Brain, a Sierra game. We played Putt-Putt, something about a parade. Putt-Putt joins the parade.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole slew of Putt-Putt games that we played in our childhood, and I'm sure we're going to make our way through all those. But so it's been a lot of fun so far. We're going to play one tonight starting at around 8 p.m.
Central Standard or Central Standard? No, sorry.
We had folks telling us we should just do UTC,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I think
internet time, that's the, yeah.
We could just speak all of ours in Unicode if you want.
I live in a place called Saskatchewan where we don't change our clocks ever. We're the one place that doesn't look at daylight savings time, just turn our nose up at that. Provinces on either side of us do change their time clocks, you know, with daylight saving time. We just never change. So when you're living here, before the internet, it was awesome because we didn't ever have to worry about changing our clocks. And we would call people and be like, oh, what the heck? It's 6 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock here. That's so crazy. But now with the internet,
more serendipitous and less like ruining lives.
Exactly.
Yeah, got it.
And now it's like it's the bane of my existence because everyone else understands. I don't have, you know what it is? I don't have practice dealing with time change, whereas everybody else dealt with it all their whole lives. So it's kind of like it's like as if I never learned how to ride a bike and now someone's handing me a bike and everybody's whizzing past me and I'm having to try and figure out how to ride this bike. So it's the cross I bear, but I'm trying my best. Okay.
You ought to know. it's like trying to ride a time bike, I guess. The time bike. Chris rides the time bike or...
Yeah, the original analogy wasn't weird enough. I think it's best if we double down and go deeper into that analogy hole.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Things you miss that get edited out of the show.
Hey? Yeah, this most definitely. The whole time thing is... It's not something I've really dealt with too much. A lot of my jobs, at least... coming up on for the last 5 years or so, 6 years, we're dealing with folks only on the West Coast and then dealing with folks in China. So China only has one time zone, which is strange. So if you're talking to people either on the way, way, way far coast or people inland,
it doesn't matter.
It didn't matter. We just had a set time to talk to folks over there. So I didn't really think about it too much. Yeah. It's really, you know, maybe you worry too much about other folks. You should just think about yourself. You should just think, when is it convenient for me to talk to Kyle?
Right. And when I do that, inevitably it's with the At You Too folks who, when we're scheduling four people, let's say, on a podcast, and everybody's in a different time zone, and I'm the only one who doesn't show up at the right time.
Do you think that's a technology? That's a technology problem, though, right?
Yeah, it's got to be a solved issue.
It's probably because, we saw kind of with Twitch where they don't list your time zone properly, or they don't have enough granularity.
CST, right. And CT. They're both named the same. And I think we changed from one to the other, or actually we changed from CT to MST, sort of. I think it is. I forget which one it is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mountain time. You're kind of in that mountain time area. I'm sure folks in Utah have this same issue. Utah, Arizona, that whole in-between area.
Multiple spouses to take care of worrying about that, right? Isn't that how it works in Utah?
Yeah, yeah.
I like to deal in stereotypes. But
woof, yeah, for sure.
As the token Canadian, I'm sorry for my stereotypical view of United States. This is not a burning issue. It's a thing where I can't say rarely because we've only been now 10 episodes into this show. So we rarely reference other podcasts and sort of jump off with other, even on good stuff. I think rarely do we actually sort of reference other shows and jump off them. We used to do it back in the day, maybe a little bit more, but when we were more on the tech punditry side of things, I guess. I don't know what that means. Anyways, there's a show I listen to occasionally called Hello Internet. It's a fairly well-known show in certain circles, and then obviously just like most things on the internet, other people have no idea it exists, and that's just fine. You don't need to know it exists. But they had a discussion on episode 84 of Hello Internet. It's two guys, an American guy and a who living in London, and an Australian guy also living in London, talking about whatever they happen to want to talk about that day. And basically the American guy, his name is Gray, CGP Gray or something. For some reason he's anonymous. For health reasons, he's eating only meat from if he orders a burger. He's not having carbs, right? Is that how it, I think?
Okay. Yeah. Some sort of ketogenic, low carb, whatever
something like that. So sure. I think this will work if I play this clip, people can hear it. We'll just see. I got a little clip.
So I was out having lunch with a few people and I ordered a burger and everybody else is eating. And now I'm the weirdo who's taking the top off of the burger and I'm using a knife and fork to start eating the burger itself.
You are a weirdo. I have no time for people who order a burger and don't eat the bun, but anyway.
So it was an unusually messy kind of burger.
Okay.
Right, with eggs and sauce on it. It's not just like, ooh, I'm neatly lifting the burger out of the bun. So have the picture in your head. I have eaten all the meat.
Yep.
But there's a lot of like burger juice and egginess and sauce that's in the bun. And I took the top bun and I put it back on top.
Sloppy, sloppy bun.
Yeah, it's a total sloppy bun. As I'm sitting there and I'm done with this.
Yep.
The guy sitting across from me takes one look at what I've done.
Yep.
And then he says,
no.
Can I eat your buns?
Right, so you get the picture? Of what happened there. He said earlier, I edited the clip a little bit, but it was a breakfast burger for whatever reason. That's why the eggs came on involved. But anyways, the idea, I put the question to you, Kyle. So you're that scenario. Someone, you've just eaten in a restaurant. It's not like at someone's house. It's not your brother. It's not Kenny sitting beside you that you've grown up with and you've shared cereal with or whatever, maybe over the years. Just a friend that you're meeting, a friend of a friend sitting across from you. You finished your meal, but you haven't eaten all of it. And they want to eat. And in this particular case, for some reason, it feels extra odd when it's like a bun from a burger. It's not fries,
it's
also right?
Like, it's the way it's phrased, I believe.
Sloppy buns.
Can I eat your sloppy buns? Please don't clip that out. So there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack with this. My main problem with this is that CGP Gray is the one who's talking, who doesn't have the accent, correct?
Right. Yeah.
I'm mildly familiar with this show. So he decided that based on his dietary restrictions, he's only going to eat part of this meal, correct?
Right. Rather than just ordering like a because he said he does this other places, like he orders a burger, and if he's by himself, maybe he would get just the meat, right? Say, I don't need the bun. I'm not going to eat the bun. I just want the meat and lettuce, presumably tomato, whatever okay. else happens to be there.
All right. So
in with his friends, he's the weirdo taking the burger off the bun, eating that part and not eating any of the bun.
My issue with all of this is that it's a restaurant where I assume if there's eggs involved and sauces, it's some sort of bespoke artisanal hamburger joint, right? You can go to the kitchen, you can go to the server and say, listen, I just want you to grill me up a burger. No accoutrement, no buns,
bonjour,
no nothing, no croissants, no nothing. It just needs to, like, meat only.
I appreciate where you're going. I think you're getting hung up on the wrong part of the question, though.
I understand that, but this is where we got to unpack it from the very beginning. Okay. Because he's... Why are you, one, wasting the restaurant? You're going to pay for it. I get that. That's fine. So what he's trying to do is get the most bang for his buck, where he's paying all the money anyway. But what's the... It's wasteful. It just feels so wasteful if you're not going to eat that. Why? You could ask for steamed broccoli. You could ask for other, like, nutrient-dense foods to accompany your meat patty, your meat bag. Like, why do you... It just makes me really angry that that's where this story started. And the issue that he comes to is that someone next to him had the audacity to ask, can I eat the garbage that you're about to throw off your plate and send back to the kitchen and make it look like you didn't like what you ate? I feel like the other person asking to eat those buns is doing him a service. He's deciding what you have done to your burger is basically defacing this fine meat establishment. And now I'm going to take this away from you because you don't deserve it.
They've debunned it. He's debunning them. He's not defacing them.
It's an open face at that point. If he separated the two buns, it's open face.
True. So what I sense from your 3-minute rant, unprepared but scripted, obviously, as our episodes are.
Yeah, it's if you just go to your parts right under.
Yeah. The what I'm sensing from you is maybe a little bit of pent up frustration over just the persona of CGP Grey seeping out, almost like the burger juice seeping out of the bun. Because I know he has a very divisive or opinionated personality that people I submit to you that maybe you have a lot of emotional baggage wrapped up in your CGP Grey issues that maybe we need to deal with first. We can go one step back from the bun to the man.
I have some quirks with my burger eating that I can kind of work through here if we want to kind of talk this out.
Sure. Show me your burger.
I will not show you my buns, but you can have the meat. I will. Do we still? We have 5 viewers, Chris. What are we doing? What are we doing? So.
Wait. Let me just clear the palate for.
Thanks. How can I get back into this? Because I can understand that there may be some sort of like psychological need to order the entirety of the thing, get it as is. I don't want to have any sort of friction between me and the waiter or the waitress. I don't want there to be this issue where I say I want something a certain way and they can't meet my needs. So what I'm going to do is just order it how it is, then on my side, make the adjustments. That sounds to me like someone who doesn't deal well with people, and two, has never had to manage someone before in their life and say, this is what I need from you and this is what I expect to get out of this relationship. If you can't meet, M-E-A-T, those needs, I'm going to need to go somewhere else with my money. And it sounds like there's a social aspect or like some sort of meeting that was happening here where they couldn't get out of buying things the way that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just some sort of social issue that, that he has with ordering food.
Yeah. If longtime listeners of Hello Internet will know that he's a very antisocial, I guess, or avoid social interactions at all costs kind of person for whatever reason. And that's his thing.
Okay.
And I'm playing this to you out of completely out of context relative other than just the one thing. So there definitely is a, I think in his, like you've pretty much nailed, I think, where it's like the lowest cost, social cost to him is to order it the way it is and then deal with his local, his friends, like the people he actually is there with, and have to still be the weirdo and doing something a little bit odd, which I think he's probably become used to doing, being the odd guy amongst his friends who, you know, he makes his living off of YouTube and podcasting under an alias. So, I mean, that's one part, and probably doesn't want pictures of himself taken, I guess, or whatever. I don't know how he manages life in 2017 and somehow figures that out. But at any rate, that's the sort of social side of it, the social game right. for him, which comes across on the podcast, especially on one listen or a couple listenings of an episode, as very pretentious and a bit like jerky, basically, which is why I think, yeah, Brady, his partner in the podcast, has no problem, you know, taking the piss out of him or whatever, as they say in England.
Like calling him out for doing that stuff. Cause it's, I mean,
yeah,
it does sound like it's a little bit on the, like it has shades of obsessive compulsive in a way where it's like, this is how I do things. This is just going to be the way that I need to be able to get through the social interaction to be able to do anything.
Right.
And that's not a diagnosis. That's what it kind of seems like.
Yeah.
From an outsider's perspective, I am not familiar with the personalities or that show at all either. So I think it's just to qualify any of the statements I have or any of the
rage.
Yeah. Any of the meat rage that I have right now is absolutely not, or bun rage, I guess, not directed at all to that program.
It is whatsoever. It's funny. I think Logan in the chat room is, if he's still there, is said Chris is a Tim, which I don't even know the reference. They call their listeners Tims for some reason. I don't know the reference because I haven't been listening long enough, but the reaction you had is something that I think it sounds very common to what people would, if you listen to, if someone said you should literally listen to Hello Internet, you'd love it. The reaction you had to him, CGP Grey, is what I would imagine most people, if they didn't like it, would. And it is off-putting for me even too, his a bit of his like, I'll just skip sections if it's like he's on some high horse that is just not worth listening to. But that being said, so have we unpacked the man from above?
We haven't even touched it yet.
Right. We haven't touched the bun?
We have not even asked for the bun yet. So in this situation, a third party, someone else who has no relation to anyone that he knew, leaned over, I guess, and asked to...
They're together. They're in the same meat party, hashtag meat party, as Kenny said in the chat room. So it's a friend he's there with, right?
And they asked for the food
that he didn't eat. So he's eating the burger, like he's eaten on the plate. He actually describes how he leaves the meat on top of the bun, cuts through it, eats the meat, but doesn't eat the bun, and then puts this plate aside, and that's when the friend asks to eat the bun, which has meat and egg residue, as it were.
It sounds lovely. It sounds wonderful. I would give anything to eat that bread, because it's probably yolky and oniony, and there's...
Okay, so we're really not good. We're not questioning the idea of whether the bun tastes good. We're going at that. Is this the hole we're aiming
0%.
For?
This is, I am not questioning the motives, or I'm not questioning anything about this person who wants the leftover buns that will most definitely just go back into the trash. I have no problems at all with this.
I'm curious, listeners. I don't know. I think I would probably, because in the podcast, spoiler warning, if you're going to go listen to episode 84 of Hello Internet, you can pause now, go listen to it, I guess. It's like an hour and a half long discussion. This part is probably about 20 minutes, I think, or something. But
wow.
The person asks, he says, I didn't edit this part in, but he says, sure, out of sort of astonishment that somebody would want to eat it, I guess, is his reaction. And I think Brady, the co-host of the show with him, is also in the similar boat of that's stepping over the line, some sort of social line in asking for the sloppy buns. to be eaten.
Someone else's plate,
differentiating it from, say, fries that are left over for some reason. And in listening to it, the episode originally, I was kind of in that similar boat of like, it feels different when it's like a thing. It's not like a thing you ate half of. It's a thing you ate over, I guess, is the thing that being a mild germaphobe myself, where you're eating over top of some food and then someone else wants to eat it. I would never want to eat someone else's food that they've eaten over top of and potentially dripped on, whatever that looks like. Whereas fries to me, if someone's like, I got some fries, anybody want them? I'd be like, oh, sure. Even though really germ-wise, scientifically speaking, I can get my buddy on Twitter, Don, to give me some feedback here. But the germs are probably relatively the same.
You're going from mouth to plate and mouth to plate with fries hundreds of times to eat those fries. That's got to be way worse than using two sterilized utensils and then cutting stuff and putting. From a germaphobe's perspective, okay, I would say anything on anyone else's plate is going to bother you. Let's not talk about the tables. Let's not talk about what happens to those dishes behind the kitchen. Like, it doesn't. That's but fine.
The funny thing is, it's not even like, if I'm the germaphobe, someone's taking it from me, I'm not at risk of any germs, right? I'm giving it to someone else. And that's where he still has the issue of it. And it made sense when I was listening, but now with you, I kind of also go the other way of like, well, if fries are okay, why would a bun not be okay too? And that's, to be fair, to give, I guess I feel like I'm a CGP Grey, what's the word, defender?
Apologist.
Which I'm not. I think he sounds like a pretentious something or other sometimes. But he acknowledges in the episode, he doesn't quite know why it felt so weird and wrong to him that somebody would ask for it. But so he's just like what we're doing, where he was processing it all out loud in front of 100,000 people or whoever listens to it. So in his defense, I guess it is kind of just like figuring out why it felt wrong. But in the end, he did say, I wouldn't do it. In the next time, I would say, I know it sounds really weird, but I have some weird objection to you eating my sloppy buns. So sorry, I can't give it to you. Which I'm with you. I like, if I'm the one, I wouldn't ask for someone else's sloppy buns, but I would happily give my sloppy buns. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that out loud again.
It's fine. It's
yeah.
It, mm, I
would you ask? Would you eat someone else's sloppy buns?
It depends on the social my friendship with the person. So I was going to unpack it that way. So
right.
If you and I went to a restaurant and I knew that we were going to be on the same tab and I was paying no matter what, I would absolutely say, Chris, you're not going to eat that. And then I would please slide that over to me. I know there's tomato. I know it's just, you're not going to have it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. If I was out at a work meeting with a coworker and we were splitting the check, I would never ask for someone else's food, even if they ate one fry and didn't touch the rest of the sandwich. I would not even entertain the question of, can I have some of that? Because it really is about, like, I want to make sure that that person is getting the value that they think is necessary for their interaction with this restaurant. If the relationship between Gray and this other person is that they were possibly on separate checks, I think that's definitely stepping over the line of like, oh yeah, yeah, let me just eat your food. I'm going to get full off your food, even though you're not going to, I mean, it's just not socially acceptable to ask for someone else's stuff that they have paid for.
Interesting. So that's where for you, the issue is the payment, who's funding the sloppy buns, I guess, right? Is the issue. Kenny in the chat room said, person asking for buns is merely a believer in the collective human stomach, which is, I think that's like a Collective Soul cover band. But also somebody here, and he's asked, what if it was offered? So like, hey, anybody want my sloppy buns that I'm not eating? Kyle's hand goes up for the audio listeners. He'll eat those sloppy buns any day of the week.
Yep. Absolutely.
It comes out of my mouth, I'm like, I'm saying it, and as soon as I'm about to finish, I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I saying this? And I knew that when I picked the topic or like suggested the topic. Yeah.
It just anyway. Over and over and over. I'll do a super clip of just the word sloppy buns. Is that must have been the title of the episode, eh?
Yeah, it's Hello Internet 84 Sloppy Buns. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. 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 Is there anything about the social situation? Anything about? Okay. Let's put it this way: is there a situation where you absolutely would allow this to happen?
Well, I would. I think I would be okay with the idea of someone taking it. I definitely. So the social game for me is such that. I wouldn't want to upset and make a scene, so I would just let someone take the food, much like what CGP Grade actually ended up doing in that situation.
Okay.
If it happened again, I would probably still default to that behavior. Don't want to make it any more awkward than it already is. Sure, here, have the sloppy buns. Whereas for him, it was like, okay, now I have a good reason why I'm not going to let you do it again. Never mind the fact that I also discussed this on a podcast with 100,000 people listening. That's why I'm not going to let you do it, because I have all these people, Tim's, I guess, backing me up. But I think I would, given the situation, if it was offered to me, I would not want the sloppy buns from somebody else, but I would happily let someone eat the sloppy buns off of my plate.
Got it. So you're a giver, not a receiver. I understand. Makes sense. I don't know if we can come to an agreement necessarily. I think we are looking at this I think we're looking at this in two or three or four completely separate perspectives, where the minutia of the interaction is what will guide me to feeling one way over another. But overall, I would say no matter the situation, so long as you are paying for this meal, anyone can take anything from anybody if they ask. I highly recommend that folks learn how to speak to their servers at a restaurant and ask for anything that conforms to their dietary restrictions, be it meat or low carb or whatever, vegan. You need to learn how things are made in the kitchen so that you can avoid the things that you are dietarily restricted to, and have the courage to ask for things the way that you want them.
Do you have it seems like this is a deeply personal issue. Do you have a history of, did you work in the restaurant industry, or you had a family member who died in the restaurant industry?
They were the inventor of the stove, and unfortunately they were in the stove. It's on that Wikipedia page. Yeah. I have a grandfather. I can get validation here in the chat room. A grandfather who is vegetarian and vegan mostly. So when we go out to family dinners and stuff, he will typically make it known, like, hey, these are my restrictions. Is there anything that I can eat on the menu? I'm trying to, learn one way over the other. And if they don't have anything on the menu that works, typically they're understanding enough to say, like, yeah, let me just saute up some veggies for you and put that out there. Cause it's, you'll find a way to charge for it, whether or not it has a bun or whether or not it has meat on it or whatever. So I guess it's only as personal as I have been able to get over that fear of, like, no, I don't want to talk to the server. I don't want to have any, like, oh, can you do it this way? Oh, can you do it that way? I guess, like, just trying to be kind and understanding. And if they say that they can't make any changes to your dish, then you just say, okay, that's fine. I will find something else to eat, or I will eat it the way that it is. Or, like, the understanding, the being flexible during mealtime is important to me, I guess, in a weird way. Because folks have a lot of different dietary restrictions. There's stuff that you, like, can't physically eat. It's rough out there. That food world is rough.
Right. got really heavy here for a moment.
I know. I'm trying not to. I'm also jiggling this thing a lot
for the audio listeners.
trying to hear myself because I'm monitoring all of the microphones through here. Yeah, it's not my buns. Did I just say I played with my snake under the desk? I didn't. I actually said that I was fidgeting with my cable under the desk. It's fine. It's fine. We're not really going to come to a head here on this topic specifically. We're mainly just discussing it from all angles. Let me tell you something about how I eat my hamburgers.
Okay.
One of the probably strangest things I think, or one of the things I notice every time that I eat a hamburger is, let me see if I can get a good device for demonstration here. Let's pretend this is a hamburger. And
for audio listeners, Kyle's holding up a soundboard device, a musical keyboard.
So like this would be the top. That's top the bun. Cheese?
Oh, top.
This bun. Is okay. the bottom bun. All right.
Okay.
So you unwrap it, right? You unwrap it, and it's sort of like picturesque burger. Now, with the paper on the ground, I take the picturesque burger. I hold it like it is from top to bottom like this. You can go into the video. You can watch what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I take a real right.
Wait, hold that all for right. a second. Just hold that. Okay, good. Okay, go ahead.
I take a big bite. I did just lice all this yesterday, so I feel fine about that. And when I'm finished taking my bite, I flip it like this.
Upside down.
So, and it goes topside down back onto the paper. So now, whenever I go back to grab my burger, I grab it like this and flip it back into my mouth and then put it back down like that. That's my burger hack.
So what is that
it's
doing
a lot of,
for
it's
you?
It's a lot of wrist action. It's a lot it's making it so that I don't have to tuck my thumbs underneath the bottom every time and get into
using the natural curve of the bun.
Of the bun to lay that get flat, leverage underneath. Yeah.
Right. That's what they call a burger hack.
That's a life hack, bud.
Okay. Hot dogs, ladies. So, and the reasoning you did that is so that you can pick up the burger easier. Is there a benefit to like not losing the some condiments or lettuce sliding off? How do you... Secondary question, if I can. So that question, I guess, first of all, but secondary question is, what order do you arrange the items on your burger?
So I never make a burger myself.
You just have below me. Do that for you?
Yeah. It's mostly because I don't ever make it how I want it to taste. And trying to share a barbecue out here in an apartment complex.
Wait. So there's the I understand like you're barbecuing the burger, making mm-hmm. it, heating it up
sometimes,
its temperature
yeah.
to 160 mm-hmm. Fahrenheit or whatever it's supposed to be. Sometimes?
Well,
you don't always barbecue? Or you don't always
always barbecue my burgers. Yeah, I'll do them in a pan or I will... There's a dish I make frequently called hambagu, which is sort of like a... I don't know what the word would be, but it's like the Japanese word for hamburger, kind of.
We call that hamburger helper here in Canada, but go ahead.
Yeah. Hambagu. Yeah. It's basically just a hamburger without a bun or anything else. It's the CGP Grey of hamburgers. Yeah.
So, but I'm not talking about how you barbecue the burger. I'm talking about so you've got the bun before it's inverted in the Kyle inversion method.
Yes.
You've got the bun, then the burger, then what? What happens next?
No, it would typically be bun, lettuce, maybe. But yeah, lettuce on the bottom. Bun, lettuce,
what?
Burger, onion, tomato, and then stuff.
Like so all the condiments go like at that. The top level.
Except for lettuce.
No, well, condiments.
Condiments.
Not topping. Condiments like mayo or ketchup or mustard. Is lettuce condiment?
You said you wouldn't bring that up on this show. You said no more.
Oh, sorry. I said the K word.
Yeah.
We'll bleep that out.
Yeah. Yeah, where's that dog track to bleep out the word cat? I guess condiment. Well, no, you want one spread on bottom, and then you want one spread on top.
Lettuce being underneath the burger is going to slide that burger. That burger's sliding. It's like when you're doing the inversion, whoosh, that burger's going out the bun, and all you have is sloppy bun left.
Well, no, you don't cradle. You give it a good squeeze to try and squish all the things together, and so you've got like a compressed version. Yeah. Just you squeeze the burger enough to make sure that everything stays together. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, lettuce.
I guess maybe you don't. I personally don't really think. I don't really care too much when I make a sandwich or a burger what order things are in. Other people in my life do actually have opinions.
Yeah, about no, that. That's I don't. Why I guess
you
I
seem
don't care.
You seem like the kind of person who would have a very strong opinion about that. But
cheese is never on the bottom. Cheese is always on top.
Cheese to me has to go right next to the burger because it melts.
It goes to the hottest. That is correct. That is correct. Are you a melted cheese or a non-melted cheese individual?
Like melting it on the barbecue for sure, if at all correct. Possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So this
all
is the high contrast order of things on burgers.
High heat.
So I would never put the lettuce below. I would put it above. I guess okay. I do have opinions. To me, the mayo mustard. If there is such a thing as, I'm just going to keep saying, so we bleep it a lot. If those just all need to go in the bun, because to me that they blend into the bun and get soaked up by the bun. And that's what they're the glue that holds the bun to the whatever's below it. Pickles, onions, I don't care for. Tomatoes, I don't care for.
All right, let's go chat room then. Chat room top to bottom. Logan says bun, cheese, meat, bun. So we got top bun on the bun. Cheese meat bun, which is, I think that's a good skeleton.
Yeah,
that's a good skeleton for what we're discussing here. I feel like that encapsulates it.
Cheese meat bun. Yeah, there's no veggies. We've got a Kenny shouting no. So I'm assuming something's coming. We might have to. Cheese cannot touch.
Kenny's right. It slides.
Not if it's melted though.
Even that, you've got the like oil slick layer of the cheese.
True. Yeah.
Right into the vinegary stuff. Yeah, it's just gonna see now we've got and cheese must touch.
Yeah, that's I don't care if it's on the bottom or the top. Like, you know how you're making a meal when you're passing around condiments, the lettuce, et cetera, is going around the table, let's say you're with a group and you can see the at the far end of the table, you've got everything you need or you're waiting for that to arrive. I don't care what order the stuff goes in. I just want to like help. Again, maybe it's the social pressure of like helping things move along nicely. So if the cheese happens to come to me first, I'll just slap the cheese on. Then the mayo comes and the lettuce is later and the whatever else might be on the table.
See, that's the thing. If you're making it yourself, I don't care what the order is. If someone else is making it for me, that thing better be easy to eat. I wanted them to QA that whole burger situation before it got to my mouth. I want them to figure that stuff out
in the labs. Yeah,
in the that's right. That's whatever testing grounds they have to figure out their burger situation. I want that to be on lock.
The part of it there. I don't know how much longer we need to go on this, but we're over an hour.
This is really important. This is important journalism here.
The Tasula's order here will go. I'm assuming this is top to bottom as well. No bun. So anyways, she says mustard, mayo, unspeakable condiment on the bun, then meat. Then cheese melted onto meat, then tomato and pickle, and another bun.
She's going bottom to the top.
Right.
Yeah.
Meat paste, we can also say. That's the unbleepable version of the K word.
The tomato paste?
Meat paste, yeah.
Meat paste? It's not made of meat, though.
No, but it's... Or what did Ultra Nerd call it in the Slack?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Wasn't it meat paste? No, meat...
meat icing.
Meat icing. I love
that. Goodness.
That speaks to me on so many levels.
Yeah. So if you want to join in on this, we haven't
asked. And why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? We haven't asked at all for ratings of this show. I think this is a perfect time. We need your burger recipe and or your burger preference to be your rating of this show.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Go ahead and just formulate it however you'd like. You can leave a five, preferably five-star review on iTunes. There's a link over at goodstuff.fm/high contrast. Leave a review there and let us know what your burger preference is. And we most definitely need to review them next time on this show.
Yeah.
Because we have hashtag opinions on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if the rating, so what we're after here, folks, is if it's not clear, give it a 5-star review. Hopefully, if you don't have to, but don't bother if you're not going to give it a 5-star review.
That's right.
But then just don't even give any sort of actual review of the podcast. Just tell us your order and preference for how you like a burger to be made.
That's right.
Whether you're making it or someone else is making it for you, it doesn't matter. But just put it in the review, and that's all you say. I think that's simple.
Yeah, please be as specific as possible with your burger needs, just as the chat room is doing right now. One important thing, buns must be toasted. So if things like that are necessary, we must know. Yeah.
We'll have our people save this for the future high contrast burger meetup that we do someday. And then everyone will get handed a high contrast burger, branded burger with the logo on the top of the bun, and you'll know, and then maybe your username will be sort of stamped.
It'd be on the other side. It'd be on the opposite side, because that's how you're going to have to eat it once you've seen the light and you do realize that is the way forward.
Yeah, you're going to do the Kyle method.
The inverted method.
Yeah.
Hey, if I need to make a hamburger timer app with the inverted method on it, so that you know how to eat your hamburger, I will.
10 seconds on this side.
Take a bite. That's right. 10. Take a bite. Wait. You wait for the countdown clock, and then you can eat again.
I deal with a lot of residue.
You deal with a lot here, Chris, and I think that's going to do it for us.
Yeah.
It was really fun.